Blog Talk Radio.
You are listening to ATP Radio with Barry Nussbaum.
Good afternoon, everybody. Your producer, Annie Cyrus, here. I do have Mr. Nussbaum on with me, but I think we are having a little bit of a technical difficulty that we are not hearing him. So, as always, I jumped in to make sure that you guys know we're here. I think I can hear Barry. Are you there? I don't think he can hear me yet. And his call dropped. Okay, so he's going to call right back. So stay tuned. Don't go anywhere. Share this episode. If you are listening online, and invite your friends to come on and listen as Barry's going to go over all the terrifying executive orders that has been signed by Biden so far. And he's going to go into details explaining why we should be terrified of them. I think he is back. Let's see if I can bring him on. Barry, can you hear me? Oh, no. Barry, if you can by any chance hear me, we cannot hear you. I don't know if there might be a headset issue or a connection issue, but... Oh, great. So he can hear us or hear me, but Barry, I cannot hear you, unfortunately. Maybe you want to try removing your headset and just using the phone by itself. Sometimes it does happen. The headphone could be the problem. So let's try that.
This better? Can you hear me now?
Fantastic. I can hear you. Yes.
Oh, yay. Hopefully the sound quality is going to be okay. I don't know what happened to my super duper headset, but I'm happy to talk into the phone on this session. If you tell me we're good to go, we'll start our show today.
Yes, sir.
Everything okay?
We are good to go.
So, welcome America to ATP Report with me, Barry Nussbaum. We are going to talk today about the crazy first week of the Joe Biden presidency. And when I say crazy, let me tell you what I mean. In his first 3 days in office, our new American president, Joe Biden, in his first 3 days now, signed 19 executive orders. Now, these are not laws per se, but they're looked at as laws, and they have enforceability clauses. And for the most part, all of America looked at it as though it was legislated appropriately by the Congress, meaning the House, the Senate signed off, voted for it, and then the president signed it. But it's not that. It's just by fiat. It's the same as if he were a dictator. In a generalistic sense, most constitutional scholars look down on executive orders, and they ought to be about things that aren't too, which is why you're not supposed to, well, sign a lot of them. But let me put it in the proper context. In his first 3 days in office, Joe Biden, get this, signed 19 executive orders. By comparison, in the same period, Trump signed one, Obama five, Bush zero, Clinton one. And to make matters worse, poor Joe didn't even know what he was signing. Now, I'm not being mean, I'm being literal. The White House put out a video that you can see on YouTube. We're going to have it up on the site today, where Joe Biden mumbles as he's signing, quote, "I don't even know what I'm signing." This is not a joke. This is your president, ladies and gentlemen. The majority of the executive orders were intended to unwind policies of the Trump administration. I'm going to go through the top 13 crazy and ugly executive orders, you're going to know what I'm talking about. And by the way, I urge you to call in. I'll be happy to answer your questions, as many as I can get to today. The way you get on the air with your question or get to ask the question directly to me, simply call 516-590-6969. The number is 516-595-8069. Push 1. You'll be connected. We can chat. I'll answer your question as fast as I can. Sometimes we don't get to them because there's, 100, 200 people calling in. We may not hear or be able to get to yours. I promise I'll do my best. I would also remind you before we get going to subscribe to our text message alert system. The way you do that is quite simply text the message TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, and send it to the number 88202, push send, 88202. You'll be subscribed automatically for free. You'll get all of our content on your phone, no charge, twice a week, right in the palm of your hand. All right, let's get going. Executive order number 1 requires that people wear face masks and maintain social distancing on all federal property. The launch was included in his, quote, 100 days masking challenge, unquote, and this encourages Americans to wear masks. Now, what does it do for health? Well, we're not quite sure, and here's why. Any mask under the new law is fine. Apparently, you can have a paper mask that might stop, well, a large bug. You can have a painter's mask, and that's a painter's mask that can stop most paint, but paint 1,000 times the size of a virus. And you can have a cloth mask that stops nothing, but those are really the most stylish. You can put your kid's picture. You can put your dog picture. I have one of those. And who knows what works best? Well, science, I guess, says the N95 mask is probably the most efficient mask to stop a virus. But I got to be honest with you, it's not required. And I don't even know anyone that has one or where to get them. So it would seem that social distancing is the way to go. And you wear a mask and it can be any one of 1,000 different kinds. And you see people all the time in the goofy pictures from Walmart wearing their underwear on their head. And that's fine, too. And by the way, President Biden broke the law almost immediately when he was photographed walking around in D.C. on federal property with no mask. So it's similar to the reporters, the ones that sign up for the press briefings and they're in the press room in the Oval Office. And I've been in that room. It's quite small. They have their masks on while they ask their questions and their social distance. And the second the camera turns off, off come the mask. How do I know that? All the videos are available on YouTube. All the do as I say, not as I do mentality that seems to be sweeping the country, especially among the elite classes. So let's go to executive order number 2. Biden reversed Trump's decision to remove the United States from the World Health Organization. Now, why did we originally withdraw from the WHO under Trump? Well, it's quite simple. It's a number of issues. Number one, the director general of the Chinese Communist Party has been able to influence the World Health Organization's leader, Tedros Ghebreyesus, nonstop. In fact, it almost seems like the communist Chinese and their dictation as to how the WHO should be run. But Dr. Tedros, I know you're not going to believe this, is not even a medical doctor. He has a PhD, and it's not in medicine. And he's a member of the Marxist-Leninist Ethiopian political party that most world political scientists have labeled as a perpetrator of terrorism. Now, the WHO director, the terrorist, defended the international organization's response to the viral outbreak in the beginning, and he said that Trump just criticized him for doing nothing, because the nation of Taiwan had been instigating a campaign of racist slurs against him, and there was no evidence of that ever happening. Why did he single out Taiwan? Because the communist Chinese hate Taiwan, and they want to conquer the country. So even though U.S. funding for the WHO exceeds Chinese financial contributions by tenfold, 1,000%, Beijing appears to maintain more influence over that entity. Here are some worrisome facts about the man leading the WHO amid the coronavirus pandemic that has killed 2 million around the world. Number one, Tedros helped Beijing hide the severity of the Chinese coronavirus outbreak. Do you remember about a year ago when months after health officials think they found the first case of the virus, the WHO was putting out press releases written by the Chinese in Twitter that said there's no evidence of human-to-human transmission? The WHO said that. Meanwhile, the disease was spiraling out of control. And the last tweet saying you can't transmit it from one person to another came out the day before the first case reached the United States, supposedly when a Chinese person flew from Wuhan, where it originated, to the state of Washington. So Tedros, who has a doctorate in philosophy, specializing in community health, was supported to take over the WHO by communist China in 2017, even though he's not trained in medicine. He's a member of the leftist Tigranian People's Liberation Front, the TPLF, and this group is so violent, labeled a terror organization. And they're listed in the Global Terrorism Database, and Tedros is a major player in the party. It gets worse. They're accused of gross human rights violations. He was influential in getting China to loan $13 billion to Ethiopia. And yet, on a repeated basis, he doesn't cut his ties to terrorism. Get this. Tedros named international terror mass murderer Robert Mugabe as a goodwill ambassador in 2017. It provoked outrage for medical professionals and human rights groups around the world. In other words, Mugabe, for war crimes, I believe, is a friend of Tedros because they're both radical terror-affiliated leaders in Africa. That's the guy that Trump didn't want to do business with. In my opinion, Trump was right, and in my opinion, Biden is wrong. And that was a really, really dumb executive order. Let's go to executive order number three. This executive order is to extend eviction and foreclosure moratoriums. The moratorium for evictions will be extended until at least March 31st. People that can't afford their rent or can't afford to pay their mortgages don't have to. They don't have to worry about being evicted. They don't have to worry about being foreclosed on. However, the rent still accrues and the mortgage interest still accrues. So let's take a look at what's going to happen in April. What do the landlords do that maybe have their life savings in a rental property and now they can't pay the mortgage because the tenant isn't paying them? What do the banks do? What happens to bank stocks? No rent coming in, no mortgages getting paid, balance sheets start going upside down, and what's going to happen in April? I predict mass evictions. I predict mass foreclosures. I predict an enormous disruption in the balance sheets of these banks, stock market collapses of the companies that people used to invest in because they provided a steady cash flow to their bottom line. Not anymore. I think this is going to make a bag problem much, much worse. I guess we'll find out how bad in April. Oh boy. Let's go to number four. Executive order number four, extending the existing pause on student loans until September 30th. Here's the quote. These are emergency measures that will help to make sure that no American is put in the place of having to make the decision to pay their student loan payment or put food on the table in the short term, and will help to provide some near-term relief. That's from the new director of the White House National Economic Council. So it's a lovely plan. So what do you propose to tell the millions of idiots who paid their loans off? That's like me. I paid mine off. Am I going to get my money back? And what do you tell the millions and millions and millions of people who are current on their loans? You tell them, stop paying? And how do you explain the fact that taxpayers like me that paid off their loans are now going to pay off the loans through subsidies to the banks for the millions of, well, art history majors or poetry majors who can't get a job and refuse to make payments because they never got jobs? Is that fair? They owe $100,000 on average, and they're never going to pay it back, but you and me will. Do you like that? Does that seem fair to you? Because it sure doesn't to me. All right. Here's a good one that can be a little bit confusing, so I'll work through it. Executive Order Number 5, signed by Joe Biden. I'm not sure if this is the one he didn't even understand that he was signing. It's an executive order that allows the United States to rejoin the Paris Climate Agreement within 30 days. Rejoining the Paris Climate Accords was a campaign promise and represents a stark rebuke of Trump's America First approach. Trump withdrew from this agreement. Obama put it in place without congressional approval by, well, executive order. The Paris Agreement committed the United States to drastically reducing greenhouse gas emissions, and it was a really bad deal for America. Bad for American taxpayers, bad for American energy companies, and every single American who depends on affordable, reliable energy. Here are a couple reasons why Trump was right to get out, and why I believe Biden is wrong for getting back in. The energy regulations agreed to in Paris by Obama's administration would have destroyed hundreds of thousands of jobs and harmed American manufacturing, and the estimates are as much as $2.5 trillion in gross domestic product would have been eliminated by 2035. When Trump withdrew us from the agreement, it took the lid off the economy, which exploded with massive growth. Now, the agreement that we're now going back into requires countries to update their commitment every 5 years to make them more and more ambitious starting now. And had we stayed in, there's no way the economy would have grown. No way. So the big if that I've always had a problem with this agreement is, what do we do if the other countries are lying when they put out their numbers about carbon emissions? And I'm referring specifically, primarily to China, and on a secondary basis to India. They are known to never meet their pledges, and even if they get close to their pledges, they lie about the numbers. Now, during time that Trump had us out of the agreement, pollution exploded out of China and India, and our carbon emissions dropped. Yes, you heard me correctly. Our carbon emissions dropped while China and India's increased. Why? Because they cheat. And we, in spite of our economy growing like crazy, dropped our emissions. So China has very serious air quality issues. My friends that go there tell me in some days you can't breathe in the major cities, literally. Same in India. So our economy grew, and we dropped our emissions, and our air quality got better, and we weren't in the deal. That would require billions and billions to go into these slush funds to send around the world to other countries to cut their emissions. Energy is a $6 trillion market in the United States, and we need to keep it affordable to keep our economy growing. So our economy boomed, our pollution went down, China and India's pollution went up, and guess what? We're back in the deal, and there's nothing you and I can do about it at this point. Executive order number 6. Oh, I got a problem with this one. This executive order is intended to deal with the embedded equity of federal policymaking and rooting out systemic racism and other barriers to opportunity from federal programs and institutions. In other words, America is a racist country, period. And the same executive order disbanded the Trump administration's 1776 Commission, which just this week released a report that Biden's historians says distorted the role of slavery in the United States. Now, the 1776 report calls for a return to the unifying ideas stated in the Declaration of Independence. You know, the document that quotes the greatest Americans that black and whites and men and women should be free and equal and have universal human rights and protections under the Constitution as amended with the Bill of Rights, etc., etc. That's all racist. So, instead of the commission that Trump founded, the 1776, that talks about how great America is, Biden wants to rely on the New York Times 1619 Project, which reframes America's history by focusing on slavery and the contributions of black slaves to building America, and wants to root out the systemic racism that has permeated every cell in American society. The New York Times proved what a racist country America is. And according to Trump, quote, the left has warped, distorted, and defiled the American story with deceptions, falsehoods, and lies. And there's no better example than the New York Times totally discredited 1619 Project that rewrites American history to teach our children we were founded on the principle of oppression, not freedom. Unquote. Well said, President Trump. Bad news, President Biden. You should have left Trump's legacy in place. I'm really disappointed. Here's another winner, Executive Order Number 7. This executive order reverses an earlier order that excluded undocumented immigrants from the census. This order now requires non-citizens to be included in the census and the apportionment of congressional representatives and funding. So get this. Listen carefully. The American Congress, which was created to provide Americans equal and proportional representation in the Congress, hence it's called the People's House, will now include a census of people who are not American, but rather often felons who have entered America illegally and broke several federal laws, and they are counted along with American Americans. Is that sound right to you? Doesn't to me. And does it bother you as much as it bothers me that funding and representation is going to be based on a census of people who are criminally here, who have violated the sanctity of our borders, and they count the same as you and me. I don't like it. I hope you. Executive Order Number 8. This executive action repeals two proclamations that were informally known as the Muslim ban. And you may remember that Trump banned immigration from a number of countries, not because their populations were largely Muslim, but because there was no way to verify who those people were, because these countries had virtually no functioning governance. In other words, what normally happens when somebody comes here, the better way to say it, that application is screened based on where they come from and what the locality says about their previous behavior, i.e., are they prisoners? Are they drug addicts? Are they terrorists? Or are they good, educated people who have never been in trouble with the law? You're supposed to check on them. But at the time the Muslim ban, you should see me, I'm putting air quotes around that word, was instituted, a number of countries had no way to verify who their people were because the countries, for all intents and purposes, are not functioning as countries, i.e. Lebanon and Syria and Libya. In addition to allowing everyone to come in with visa processing, regardless of where they're from, regardless of who they are, regardless of their background, the president, Biden, also asked for ways to be developed to address the harm caused by the people who were prevented from coming to the United States because of the previous ban. I have a lot of problems with this insane order. First, this was not and never was a Muslim ban. It was a ban on countries with virtually no functioning governments that precluded our government, the United States, from ascertaining who was coming here and whether they were good or bad guys. So if the home country of those immigrants was not functioning sufficient to provide a background verification, they should be banned now and forever. If we just let everyone in, why even have a border? Let's just make one big world government with one big country. Oh, wait a minute. That is the goal of many on the left. And Biden just facilitated that goal in a big way. And on top of opening the door to everybody, Biden wants to make it up to the people that weren't allowed to come here for that period of time because we shouldn't have kept them out. So why in the world do we owe these non-citizens anything when we have millions on our streets that are homeless, many of whom are veterans, and we don't feed those veterans, we don't clothe those veterans, and we don't shelter those veterans? But if you come here illegally, from a country that can't even verify who you are, you'll get food, you'll get shelter, you'll get medical, you'll get transportation, and you'll get an education. Sounds crazy. I hate it. And that's just my opinion. Here's Executive Order Number 9. This executive order revokes Trump's, quote, harsh and extreme immigration enforcement policies, unquote. And it directs all appropriate agencies to set immigration policies more in line with the Biden administration's values and priorities. So I guess this means chained immigrants out of the cages run by ICE. You remember all those pictures of the people in cages at the border, the ones that the media said were built and run by the Trump administration? They were clean, but they still were cages. And the horrific pictures were all blamed on Trump.
But as they say in Texas,
we come to find out all those pictures were taken when Obama was president, was vice president, and they were running the detention centers, and they were the ones that built the cages. I'll bet you, you didn't know that. If you get your news from mainstream media, I guarantee you don't know it. And unless you're going to alternative sites, well, like American Truth Project, you wouldn't have known who built those cages. They were not built by Trump. Trump inherited them. Let me remind you, if you haven't subscribed yet, about the word truth on a blank text message and send it to 88202. Push send. You'll be automatically subscribed to our text message alert system absolutely for free. You'll get all of our shows and notifications on your cell phone absolutely free. All you have to do, look down into the palm of your hand. And I want to remind you, if you have a question, I'm not sure if the system is working, but please give it a try. All you have to do is dial 516-595-8069. 516-595-8069. Press 1. You'll get Annie, our producer, and she'll get your question to me, and I'll see if I can answer on executive orders from Joe Biden. Number 10. I really, really, really hate this one. Executive order that has canceled the construction of the border wall on the southern border. And part of the executive order is going to take the money that Trump worked so hard to put together . That executive order is going to have an immediate termination of the emergency declaration and is going to send the money somewhere else, according to the New York Times, and it's already happened, and they're already laying off construction workers. Now, do you remember this wall? In the beginning, when Trump proposed it, there was an outcry, we don't have any money. So Trump found the money. No new taxes, just moved stuff around. Took it out of waste. So it didn't cost any new money. And Trump built it like crazy. Bid it out like crazy and has built it like crazy. And then the left said, well, even if you can find the money, walls don't work. Remember that speech? And the hypocrisy is evident daily. I direct you, if you're curious, look at Washington, D.C. right now. There are walls, well, in this case made out of chain link and barbed wire, around every building to separate the people from the legislators, because apparently those walls work. And there's still a wall around Nancy Pelosi's estate and Governor Newsom's estate and Joe Biden's house, etc., etc., etc. Walls work, just not on the southern border, or so they say. There are rumors that votes are being accumulated in the House, and I hate to say these words, to take down the new, to open up the border, because the fence on the border is racist. It is the stupidest, most egregious lie I've ever heard in my 40 years of being around politics, and I find it disgusting. So, because of COVID, trillions have been spent. Trillions. Nobody complained about billions and billions and billions and billions of dollars going all over the world for one goofy, stupid project after another. And all the wall needed was another billion or two. But walls are racist, and they don't work. Now, I can tell you, as someone who's been to Israel many times, and I met with the prime minister when the wall was being set up. It's a barrier. Some cases it's chain link. Some cases it's cement. Some cases it's a combination of different materials. And he told me, we have to build a separation barrier. That's what they call it. Because terrorists are walking across the street carrying a bomb in their backpack, and we can't patrol all the border, but a wall will do the patrolling for us. And suicide bombings dropped 99.9%. You heard that statistic correctly. On the southern border, in every case where the wall is in place, all administration officials who work in any capacity that relates to the southern border's security, ICE, Border Patrol, etc., all the sheriffs, all the governors say the same thing. The wall stops traffic because you can't go under it and you can't go over it. You can't go through it unless the door is open for you. And yet, that wall is racist and xenophobic. Please get active on this issue. Every Dem that's come out against it has a barrier around their homes, their offices, both where they live in D.C. and where they live in their home districts. Walls work or they wouldn't have. The wall has been an issue, and Biden has been inaugurated. There's a monster caravan on its way up from Guatemala. Why? Because they know they'll get in, and they know they'll get free stuff, and they'll vote Democrat eventually, which is why they're going to be let in. Now, ironically, already, the Biden administration has now placed its own travel ban in effect. On which countries? China and South Africa. Now, if you remember, when Trump put in a restriction on travel from China, he was called a racist, he was called a xenophobe, he was called all kinds of names, you know, stuff like Nazi. And Biden's doing the same thing. And there is a new travel ban now in Brazil. I should say on Brazil. And maybe it's because President Bolsonaro from Brazil has been an outspoken supporter of President Trump. And there's a restriction on travel from the UK, where pro-Brexit and anti-globalist and Trump supporter Boris Johnson is at the helm. Has anyone called Biden a racist or a xenophobe since his travel bans went into effect? Uh-uh. But the Muslim travel ban was an affront to humanity, even though it wasn't a Muslim travel ban. Boy, if I haven't engaged you enough to get active politically, I don't know what will. We need that wall, and God forbid it comes down. Remember, for call-ins, questions, 516-595-8069. Some of the questions come to me in writing, and I answer them as we go along. So I'm doing that now as we're proceeding. The number again is 516-595-8069. Press 1, and I'll get to them as they are sent to me. Let's move on. Executive Order 11. You won't even believe this one. Immigration and Customs Enforcement officials, that's ICE, were told to release all illegal immigrants that are presently arrested as of midnight last week. Stop removals and let them out. You may not send them back by buses, charter flights, or commercial transportation. All cases are to be considered likely to be accepted into the United States, and no one may be removed. And the end of the email from the White House says, release everyone in custody immediately. you're horrified. The email was sent to ICE officers as a response to an executive order from President Biden that directed the cessation of most deportations from the United States for the first 100 days of his administration. It's a new sheriff in town, and this one is making up laws as fast as he can and putting America in a very, very, very insecure position. If I was living in a border town, I would be nervous. Not because most immigrants are bad people. That's an outrageous thing to say. Because most people everywhere are good people. But it doesn't take a lot. You know, like a tenth of 1%, we're talking about millions of people. And if that 1/10 of 1% comes after your family, and there's an assault, or worse, you will never forget this when you found out that everybody got let out. Number 12. Joe Biden has canceled the permission for the Keystone XL pipeline. That means the tremendous amounts of money that have been spent by private industry on both sides of the border, not to mention the states, was wasted. Now, the oil is still being pumped out of the ground, and it's still going to be sent to the United States. But now it's going to come by rail car and truck, both of which are stupendously polluting compared to a pipeline, are more prone to leaks and accidents, and are going to raise the cost of the fuel when it finally gets to wherever it's going to be processed into gasoline and heating oil. Horrible, horrible decision. The Canadians are furious, including their prime minister, who's a liberal, progressive, left-wing Democrat. Trudeau has never been madder. And the governors of the various provinces, which they have provinces instead of states in Canada, are furious too. So China has already said, we'll take the oil, load it on ships, we'll buy all of it. So Biden has just helped out China dramatically. And they have no environmental regulations. They're going to burn it and process it any way they want to. And if the oil came down on the pipeline to the United States, we have the strictest pollution controls in the world. Instead, it's going to China, where the air is already so black on some days you can't even go outside. So 830,000 barrels of crude oil per day are either going into rail cars, of which there aren't enough, trucks that aren't enough, and the balance is going to China. How bad is it economically? 10,000 jobs lost with the stroke of a pen, including 2,000 Americans who are already working on it, and they're all laid off. And they're in phase four of the development program, which was connecting Alberta, Canada, and Nebraska, and now it's gone. I'm so bummed. This is so bad. Thousands and thousands of jobs and $2.2 billion in payroll is coming out of the workers' pocketbooks. Here's an interesting question, and I've never thought about this, but well done. Is there a limit to how many orders a president can sign? Sadly, no. Tradition limits it
But until and unless Biden feels bad about it, he's going to be signing executive orders like a maniac. And in his words, I don't know what I'm signing. Here's a related question. Can President Biden just go on and sign as many as he wants and turn the country into a dictatorship? Yes, he can. Unless and until somebody challenges an executive order in court and gets a court to take it for review and possible alteration or cancellation. But there has to be judicial review. And that's why, if you remember, and this is sort of an aside, do you remember how conservatives were so happy that Trump was filling judicial vacancies as fast as possible? Those judicial appointments are lifetime appointments. And by getting judges that will follow the Constitution instead of activist judges, we who want more limited government might very well be protected. Now, what does that mean in terms of this issue? Well, as the Republicans were rushing through appointments, knowing in the future laws come before those courts, lower courts, and all the way to the Supreme Court, those judgeships and the justices sitting there have become so very, very, very important. So, yeah, we got a problem with executive orders, and it's not going to get better. I saved the best for last. You ready? Number 13, Joe Biden has signed an executive order affecting girls' sports and military discrimination based on transgender self-identification. Let me translate that into words that make a little more sense. I think most of us listening today can agree that when a doctor or a midwife or a nurse delivers a baby, the first thing they do is make sure the child is stable and okay, count fingers and toes, and then they say, oh, congratulations, mom and dad, you have a boy. Or you have a girl. Well, not anymore, because that's sexist. And under the Biden administration, you get to pick your sex. Doesn't matter what is or isn't between your legs. So let's talk about the girls' sports part. I have a daughter, as many of you do, and my daughter's sport was martial arts. And she trained for years and years and years and years. And I know many of you are parents and have had daughters, or personally, when you were younger and trained and competed in sports, that became a major part of your life. You learned discipline. You learned commitment. You got physically fit. You enjoyed the competition. And the playing field had to be level. Now, what does the playing field level mean? It's an expression. And what it basically means is everybody is equal in terms of opportunity. So if you're a swimmer, you compete in your age bracket. So if you're 10, you shouldn't have to compete against a 14-year-old. They'll kill you. Why? They're faster, stronger, more adept, more physically developed. Everybody agree? I hope so. It's true in any sport requiring a great deal of physical effort. Now, you could say that, well, like, you know, chess is a game, Some people call it a sport. I don't have a problem with boys and girls playing chess against each other because they're not going to arm wrestle when it's over. But I do have a problem with my daughter going on the mat against a boy who's stronger, faster, bigger bone density, more muscle, and 9 times out of 10 would beat her because he has a different metabolic and physical makeup. And anyone who doesn't recognize that is just plain lying to you. So when you see these videos of boys that used to be Dave, now as Karen, running against the girls in track meets, don't be surprised. They're setting every record there is. Shot put, javelin throw, high jump, sprints, long distance running, tennis, golf, etc. It's not fair if you change the rules to say, all I have to do, change my name from Dave to Karen, and I win all the sports, and I should get scholarships. That is Joe Biden's new world. It applies to locker rooms, bathrooms, changing areas, and all sports competition. I'm disgusted. I'm horrified. I hope you are too. I would not want some guy who says his name is now Barbara or Karen in the locker room and in the shower with my daughter. I think that's a reasonable request. Now, what about the military? Well, the military now is going to allow transgenders to fight. Now, Lieutenant General Tom Spohr, who's the director of the Center for National Defense at the Heritage Foundation, warned that this new policy will, quote, contribute to a reduced level of military readiness in our armed forces, which are already hard-pressed to defend American interests around the globe, unquote. Why? Well, it's simple. Who's willing to take a chance and place a gun in the hands of a person who might consider wanting to commit suicide? Now, you might say, what the hell am I talking about? Transgender group, Human Rights Campaign, says 29.9% of females identifying as trans have tried to commit suicide. 41.8% of non-binary youth have tried to commit suicide. And over 50% of all males identifying as trans have tried to commit suicide. That's insane. It's 900%. Percent more likely to happen to a trans person than someone who identifies as their physical sexuality. So military service is inherently stressful, and the suicide rate in the military already exceeds the general population. It seems to me it's crazy to increase that by another 900%. And who's going to administer this? Well, Joe Biden has tapped Pennsylvania Health Secretary Rachel Levine. Rachel Levine is a biological male originally named Richard Levine. And this person is now the Assistant Secretary of Health at the Department of Health and Human Services. Levine has a questionable record on COVID-19 in Pennsylvania, but his gender identity is now going to be a serious problem when it comes to women's sports and gender self-identification in the military. I suggest you look up Rachel Levine online and you'll see the person I'm talking about. I have nothing against someone self-identifying as whatever. Just don't impose your deviation from science on my life or my children's lives or, as well, your children's lives. Doesn't that make sense? Sure does to me. So reminding everybody, as we just have a few minutes left, I got another question I'm going to get to in a second. To subscribe, simply take out your cell phone, Text the message TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, on a blank text message. Push send when you put in the number 88202, 88202. When you push send, in about a minute or so, you'll get a confirmation. You're a Truth Ambassador. That means you're in our service. You're going to get all of our content for free on your cell phone. You'll be noticed when we have future shows. You'll get all of our content. Me, Annie Cyrus, Will Johnson, Katie Hopkins, Claire Lopez, and everyone else we do shows with. The written content, our radio, and all of our videos. A viewer wrote in with, do I think that Biden will remove the IRGC from the terror list? The IRGC is the Iran Revolutionary Guard Corps. It is, without question, the leading terror group on planet Earth. They're based in Tehran. They are the funders of terror around the world. If there's a group out there in any country that wants to kill Americans, kill Jews, kill Westerners, kill anyone that does not support the Islamification of the world under the caliphate, according to Shiite Islam, because they don't like their competitor, which is Sunni Islam, they're probably sending that group money. So the IRGC supports terror groups such as Hezbollah, such as the Houthi rebels, such as Hamas, Islamic Jihad, and so on around the world. They're aligned with the Muslim Brotherhood, which, as you may know, has the goal of raising the flag of the caliphate over the White House, over the Capitol, abolishing all constitutional projections, all religions, and the only religion that will survive is Islam. Sounds ugly, doesn't it? I hope not. If Biden does that, I hope the Republicans in the House and the Senate move for immediate impeachment. So I want to say thank you for joining us today on ATP Radio. I've enjoyed it. I hope you learned something, and I hope you'll tune in next week at the same time for whatever is going on, so I can give you at least my insights. Remember to subscribe if you can. 88202 is the number. Truth is the message. Push send. You'll be signed up. Or you can go to our website, AmericanTruthProject.org, and sign up for free there. For being with me today, I hope you learned something about Joe Biden's first 13 executive orders, none of which I like very much, and now you know why I don't. For ATP Radio, thank you so much for coming on today and listening to me. I'm Barry Nussbaum.
You were listening to ATP Radio. Make sure to text the word TRUTH, T-R-U-T-H, to 88202 to be notified of our future radio shows.